Welcome to GovX Data Points, where we talk all things government and data. I'm your host, Sharon Paley, joined by my co-host, Eric Reese.
This week, we're kicking off a series of discussions focusing outside the United States. We want to make sure that folks are learning from best practices from around the world and learning how to apply them here in the U.S.
So to kick off this new mini-series, we are talking with Jean-Noé Landry. He is the executive director at Open North in Canada. He's worked all over the world, including in Croatia, Serbia, Russia, Afghanistan, the West Bank, Kenya, also in Algeria, Tunisia, Ukraine, and Morocco. So pack your passport for this episode.
And I think we have a ton to learn from Jean-Noé's experience both abroad and in Canada, and his current position has him leading Open North, which is a Montreal-based Canadian nonprofit helping governments become more transparent, accountable, and responsive in the digital age. So welcome, Jean-Noé. We're happy to have you with us here today. We're always excited to have guests, and especially to get your perspective on what things are happening in the data world in Canada. So what I wanted to start off with is just a big, broad question for you on, you know, what is the environment like for data use and open data in Canada?
Right. So first off, I mean, thank you for the opportunity to participate in the podcast. It's always nice to connect on a kind of North American basis with our, you know, friends and colleagues to south of the border.
Absolutely.
Well, there's a lot of thing going on in Canada since, you know, and there's a lot of things that's been going on over, you know, multiple years. I think there's a perception that things have been kind of picking up over, you know, the last year or so with the new government that came into place. But as a matter of fact, I mean, open data has been something that the Canadian government federally has been working on for multiple years now, especially through the Open Government Partnership, which I'm sure that your listeners are well aware of. So Canada has really made open data kind of a core component of its OGP action plans, going into its third one now that's currently being rolled out. And the main thing that's going on in Canada is, well, how do we connect these multiple different levels of jurisdictions, right? And so we've got, you know, federal initiative and leadership, a lot of provinces that are stepping up. We're seeing some great developments in Ontario, for example, Ontario now being part of the subnational OGP initiative. Demonstrating, you know, a lot of willingness to consult, but then also, you know, prioritize data sets according to the demand on the ground. And other examples in, like, for example, in British Columbia, that are kind of pioneers in rolling out open data standards, specifically on road events with, you know, a standard that we helped develop called Open 511. So, lots going on at those different levels, and then at the city level as well. We've got more than, I believe, close to 80 or 90 different cities now that have open data policies. And we're really, you know, as I presume, you know, like it is in the U.S., we're really kind of past whether or not open data is, you know, is a good idea, to really looking at the hard questions of how to implement it in an engaging and sustainable way. So lots of opportunities here.
What would you say is unique about open data in Canada, and how has that impacted implementation?
Right. Well, there's a couple of examples of initiatives where, for example, in Quebec, we've seen multiple different cities collaborate together to build a common open data portal. So I think these, like, this notion of, like, data collaboration and building joint infrastructure to enable data users to have access through kind of a one-stop shop, so to speak, you know, an array of data sets from these different governments, but then also having, you know, other complementary data sources that aren't necessarily, you know, government data, but from other sources. I think that's a good kind of model or an example that we've seen now replicated in other parts of the country as well. Obviously important to remember that in Canada, we're dealing with, you know, much smaller population sizes. So there's a greater degree of distance also between different cities. So we need to be able to collaborate through that joint infrastructure in ways that, you know, may be a little bit more unique or particular in this context. And then looking at, you know, from an issue-driven perspective, how do we build on the work that is going on at a very local level in terms of tackling issues that are common to other places in the country as well. And we've seen a lot of great initiatives using open data on homelessness, for example, or housing, where you've got different, you know, pockets of activism from local open data communities now connecting under more of an umbrella kind of approach to share best practices, share code, and things like that.
That's really interesting that you mentioned homelessness, because I know a few of our cities in the What Works Cities initiative have also been tackling homelessness from a data and also from an analytics perspective. You know, how are they working with the data they have? Are there other areas that have come up in Canada as big themes besides homelessness? And how have folks been using their data to tackle those issues?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the, you know, homelessness is obviously a very challenging area to work on. And one of the issues that came out from a data perspective is, you know, what do we know about homelessness and what is the available data sources that enables us to have kind of an informed analysis about the current situation of homelessness in Canada and very much at the local level. And so this whole issue of, you know, doing a census of homeless populations locally from a methodology perspective is quite challenging. So there's been efforts at sharing those methodologies across the country, and then connecting it with, you know, what are the, you know, what levels of government are responsible for services that, you know, support homeless populations locally as well. So I think homelessness is a good example of an issue that, you know, more broadly speaks to, you know, issues of poverty and, you know, social inequality and economic inequality, and, you know, kind of incentivizes government to talk to each other more on an issue-driven perspective. So I think that's probably a good example in terms of like specific like outcomes. Maybe it's a little bit too early to tell. And I think that's probably a good thing. That also shows kind of a maturity that's kind of coming up as well, that we're not focused on, you know, the next killer app, for example, right? We're really looking at kind of much deeper, kind of like systemic understandings of, you know, how do we know what we know about a problem, and how do we kind of pool together resources and different types of skill set to be able to have a much more kind of complex understanding of you know, the issues and the underlying causes of those issues that we're trying to resolve collaboratively.
Besides governments and Open North, who else are the players in the Canadian open data scene? How are they working together organizationally? And what are those like long-term goals that you were mentioning earlier?
So yeah, I mean, Open North, you know, was founded in 2011, but there's been like several kind of local more grassroots initiatives, as you know, you've seen in other kind of big cities in the US, kind of local, you know, hacking groups that have now kind of evolved into more sustained kind of organized collaborations. A good example of that would be kind of Civic Tech Nights in Toronto, for example, that I know has been, you know, quite close with the She Hack Night in Chicago. So they've learned a lot from them. They've also learned a lot from like Code for America. And, you know, these like local initiatives are now connecting with one another as well, right? And we also have what we call open data book clubs in Canada, which is something that I haven't heard a lot of, that other places have that type of model. But that's essentially, you know, every month you meet up, and just like a normal book club, instead of a book, on a monthly basis, you read or analyze a particular data set that the group selects democratically to focus on for the next edition of the process. So you come back and you've got an idea, you've looked at the data set, and now we're seeing on a scaling basis that different book clubs are not only collaborating with one another, but also looking at how they can mobilize their local groups to tackle similar data sets as well, which is obviously forcing or encouraging government to recognize that there's a demand coming in to tackle those issues. And it creates a safe space for public servants and data managers and custodians to be able to interact with folks that are very excited about doing cool stuff with data. So that's, you know, those are some of the models that we're seeing that are coming up. And in terms of the other kind of, you know, actors, lots of research going on in Canada on geospatial data. We're part of a big research consortium called GeoThink, you know, about 40, 45 different academics out of the University of McGill here in Montreal. And we've done work with them on, you know, analyzing the International Open Data Charter in 10 cities and 4 provinces to see its potential adoptability. We collaborated with them to draft a discussion paper on city resilience. So Open North has, you know, there aren't that many organizations that are, you know, specialized on open data, but obviously a lot of people the value added of open data in their work. So we get to talk to a lot of different types of people that are, you know, really excited about seeing the potential of open data. And I think, you know, from urban planners to librarians to, you know, data scientists or urbanists, I think there's a big, big kind of movement here that's taking hold in Canada.
I think it's really interesting too that you mentioned a few actors in there that seem like they might be government employees themselves. And so I'm curious to hear your experience on how cities specifically are using data to improve outcomes for residents, whether they be, you know, the librarians or urban planners, as you said, focusing on research, but also on implementation within their own communities.
Yeah, so I mean, there's 3 different examples that I can give you, one of which would be with the City of Guelph Civic Accelerator Program that has engaged 2 Ontario companies to participate in their inaugural cohort, working to address high priority issues identified by city staff, right? So we're seeing accelerators and incubators being really embedded within kind of the local ecosystem that then creates opportunities for businesses and, you know, civic startups to work collaboratively, you know, with government employees. The City of Edmonton, of course, is a good example of, you know, the work that they're doing around data and analytics with a view of improving efficiency. And there was an article that came out recently about, you know, just cost savings that, you know, that they were able to identify by opening up data and making it available to kind of the local civic open data community to look at how to rationalize some of these costs. Also other grassroots kind of activities that connect government workers, like the Toronto Public Library, that has done has made, you know, tons of data available and are kind of working actively with the community to find ways to using that data to improve how it delivers services. We're always kind of looking at what's going on in the States, but I think, you know, we're cognizant of kind of the means that we have available here, and kind of doing things in the best way that we can. But what I like the most is that because cities are realizing that they each have now open data initiatives and programs and the political will behind it, there's this nice competition that's emerging in Canada, which creates great opportunities to collaborate as well. So it's like this healthy competition around innovation using open data that's emerging right now.
So you're looking to the U.S. to see what's happening here, but I don't know if we're like really on the leading edge of open data or not, but like who do you think is when you look out across the globe, what other countries, cities, provinces, states do you look to as like a goalpost for open data?
Yeah, that's a tricky question to answer, right? Because each city is going to have its own kind of sets of variables and its context and whatnot. But, you know, the cities that I've been building relationships with over the last few years would be, you know, cities like the City of Helsinki, for example, that has like a, you know, pretty advanced kind of data analytics team and, some, pretty cool kind of accelerators and incubators that are really embedded in this like regional ecosystem with like peripheral cities that are integrated in this really kind of, it looks like a very smooth kind of, way of kind of onboarding people that want to participate in kind of the digital economy and innovation sector. But south of the border, I mean, I think, the smart data collaborative in Chicago, I've been, in touch with the organizers there and learning from their approach in New York with the team there. And, what's been done around the notion of like data poverty, for example, and their playbook. Those are principles that go beyond the way that we've talked about open data kind of more broadly. If you look at kind of the core principles of what we mean by open data, and this notion of like data poverty for me is one that I think resonates well from a access to data and the whole capacity that's required to be able to participate in utilizing data and tackling tough issues of like data literacy and really looking not just in kind of the immediate short term, but a much more longer kind of horizon of the potential of this new economy and social systems that we're building through the internet and through accessibility of data. So yeah, I'd say like, always keep a close eye to what's going on in New York and Chicago and elsewhere and in Europe. But, there's a lot to do here in Canada, but whenever we have the opportunity, we connect with other cities as well.
And as through your work, Jean Noé, in Canada, what has been the coolest project that you have worked on?
I mean, I like, I like to say
choosing your favorite child.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. It's like, huh, I like you more, but what about me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one project that we did that builds on the work that we've done with, roughly 75 cities in Canada, which is through our online budget simulator called Citizen Budget, for which we have three different modules and a range of different customizations, is to use our, fiscal, simulation expertise to work with the parliamentary budget officer at the federal parliament in Ottawa to develop a tool called Ready Reckoner, which is an online fiscal simulator for MPs and citizens alike. So we've now developed two new exciting modules that will allow Canadians to simulate economic scenarios and their impact on federal revenues and expenses, as well as infrastructure spending and full-time job creation. And what's different with kind of these new iterations of this tool, and we're really talking about kind of predictive analysis, so that let's say that an MP shows up in a committee hearing, or whatever work he needs to do, he or she is able to, have access to a tool that enables him to cost, what he's talking about or the policy proposals that he's putting forward during those meetings, or public sessions with real data that the PBO is making available through this tool. And what we want to do with that tool is that not to only make it available to the MPs themselves, but to make it available to think tanks and nonprofits and advocacy groups like taxpayers associations, so that they can then use that to hold government into account. So that tool would then be used as a fact-checking capacity for those organizations in their, in whichever activities they do.
Very cool. And for our U.S. members who don't know what an MP is, member of parliament, that's right?
Yes. Yes, sorry. Yeah.
So as you look out and to the horizon of open data, like what do you think is the future for Open North and for open data in Canada?
Another easy question.
Yeah, I'm asking all of you.
It's great, though. I mean, those are the questions that, we need to ask ourselves. And I think they're important to ask because we can't take kind of the openness and transparency agenda for granted, right? So it's important. It's in our, not only in our interest, but our responsibility to have that kind of longer term perspective. So I can tell you about you know, a few initiatives that I'm quite excited about that are coming up. One of which is work around the idea of data sovereignty for First Nations and Indigenous peoples. And so really not looking at those communities as stakeholders, but really looking at what it means from a sovereign to sovereign relationship with the federal government in terms of having much more ownership, much more control, consent, appreciation of like the cultural context of data collection and data analysis methods to be able to have a much more kind of autonomous way of being able to administer data and to apply it to solutions and service delivery in their own jurisdiction. So we've been, you know, building relationships with a number of different First Nations and Aboriginal groups in Canada. We're looking forward to kind of continuing to do that and to making, you know, our own expertise of value to those communities. So that's one area that I think might be, I know there's actually some work that's being done in the U.S. and it's obviously a kind of a transnational issue that we're seeing emerging through, you know, events like the International Open Data Conference, where there's now an increased kind of space for that discussion. You know, otherwise, I think, you know, the future of kind of the open data community in Canada, one of the ways that we've managed to be able to address that question is to create a reoccurring national scale event called the Canadian Open Data Summit, where on an annual basis you have open data leaders from really a cross section of, you know, different types of stakeholders, not just government, but from, you know, as much as data users as data producers, to come together and to kind of keep themselves updated about what are the big challenges, what are the big concerns, what's going on well, how do we, you know, how do we move the needle collectively? And it's getting kind of, we're getting kind of in a much more kind of deeper kind of understanding of that. And there's a sense of greater collaboration as more people kind of join that that conversation. The next edition is going to be held in Edmonton, in Alberta, in June, and you know, Open North is hopefully going to be there to look at, you know, the potential of open data for the social sector. We've been doing a lot of work around, you know, assessing the data needs of settlement organizations or organizations that support the arrival of newcomers, like the Syrian refugees that came to Canada about a year ago. So, you know, what are the data needs of those organizations? What, you know, what's the digital capacity of organizations to be able to utilize and to think strategically with data to cater to, you know, the needs of these new populations? So, you know, it's always going to be kind of issue driven. But I think we're finding that the challenges related to interoperability is really at the center of the way that different levels of government now are speaking to each other, more so than in the past, I think. And that creates a whole range of new opportunities. And, you know, we're about to launch a new project with the National Energy Board in Canada. A whole bunch of data there. How do we design a data engagement process to talk to different stakeholders that, you know, expect a higher degree of or more transparency, you know, about that data? Maybe there's a lot of data that's available that they don't know about. So how do we use data to build trust with public institutions? So lots of opportunities. I think it's mainly driven by issues and, you know, the reality of our geography and, you know, different division of power between levels of government.
And I think, as we're answering all the big questions, I want to finish with one other big question for most of our listeners here in the U.S. If there was one thing that you thought U.S. cities or practitioners can learn from the experience in Canada, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing a lot of thinking on, and I know this is not unique to Canada, but, you know, because I could talk about kind of maybe our advanced snow removal apps, you know, that use open data. Right. But that may not be, you know, as relevant for your listeners as other solutions that we're building. I think the focus on the cultural shift and the mindset shift is something that is really kind of taking hold in Canada, and really kind of looking to change, behavior and attitudes towards openness is something that we're doing, increasingly well here in Canada. I think, the whole kind of aspect that I talked about around, data sovereignty, I think builds well on the work that, like I mentioned before, on notion of data poverty and, really linking open data to issues of inclusivity, and kind of a new type of civic engagement. But, let's face it, we've got a lot to learn and to exchange through, the work that you're doing in the States. And, hopefully I think the answer to your question may lie in, the opportunities that exist to connect cities with Canadian cities and to look at kind of issue and problem solving on a continental basis. And that's something that I would be very excited about, because I think, a lot of the issues obviously that we're facing, are common to, to both of our countries. Looking at, issues of climate change or others, there's a lot of issues there. I just saw recently a study that talked about the Northeast United States as being the part of the world where there's going to be a faster increase of temperature over the next few years. Well, that's not just the Northeast United States. That's also Quebec, and that's also the Atlantic provinces. So, how do we kind of change the terms of the dialogue to really kind of break down those boundaries, just like we do with silos of information as we talk about open data? So, I'd be more looking at, let's strengthen networks on a North American basis, and, make sure that, we're able to collaborate well going forward.
Awesome. I think that's a great note to end on, and I'm sure that some of our northern cities actually probably would be interested in this snow removal application that you all are building. But we very much thank you for your time, Jean-Noé, and look forward to building the connections, as you said, across North America moving forward.
Great. My pleasure.
Thanks to Jean-Noé for joining us this week. If you want to find out more about Open North and all the great things happening with data in Canada, check out the show notes for some links to what Jean-Noé talked about today.
We look forward to talking to you all next week from somewhere else in the world and finding out where the data points.